Okay, well, we just had a wonderful Skype fellowship, and you can listen to that on the audio above this teaching. And I'm going to hand this over because Kim's going to do the teaching. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And as you know, we are grandparents again. Leanne had our grandson on Sunday. And I am so very, very thankful to God. We prayed for an easy birth. And like my heart, my compassion, my love for my daughter was that she would have an easy labour. Again, God went over and above all that we could ask, think or pray for. And it just inspired me to share tonight on no greater love. You know, the love that God has for us. Even though I loved my daughter and I prayed for an easy birth, God's love for us is so much bigger. He has plans and desires for each one of us. And each day he wills us to do more and more for him. So just like I was praying for Leanne, and I was there with her at the birth with her husband Nick, you know, setting an example, keeping very positive, helping her through that labor, that God is with us every day, helping us through our labors, our trials, our tribulations, our mental pressures. And he's willing us constantly with his love for each one of us so that we get a great end result, always. He never wants us to fail. But I want you to turn to your Bibles, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 5. And it says in verse 8, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See, he gave his only begotten son for us so that we could live and have that Christ in us and have that being and that willingness to go on to do more. We know that Christ accomplished so much while he was here on earth, that he walked with such compassion and love towards every person he came in contact with. It wasn't that he would bypass people or ignore people or approach people with a real nasty attitude. No, he only ever did what the Father put or inspired him to do. But when you read throughout the Gospels, you see the heart of Jesus Christ and how he walked with great love. And the only reason he could do that was because his Father was the all master of love. You know, nobody can love more than God can. And he instilled that into Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ showed us from the Gospels what love really is. So again, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God gave us his only begotten son, and we all know what Christ went through. It was no easy task. And yet, even at the end of it, he said, "Father, forgive them for what they do." You know, his compassion and his love was there right until the very, very end. Until he gave up that breath, he still had compassion and love for those that were persecuting him and basically killing him. So we can see that God showed his love for us through Christ dying. Let's turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, and in chapter 15. John 15. And we're going to look at verse 13. And it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, I'm not telling you all to go out now and kill yourselves for your friends, okay? But that love is showing us that it's an action. We have to show our love. It's no good just to say, "Oh, I love you." Anyone can say that. Anyone can say, "Oh, I do love you. Oh, I send you my love." But this love connotes an action where we bring it into fruition, that we let that love of God that dwells within us come into manifestation It's an act of love, an act of compassion. Jesus Christ didn't just say, I love you. There was always something that he brought into fruition, like when he fed the 5,000. His compassion to feed them. God went to work within the loaves and the fishes, but everybody got fed. And you could see that act of love, and the results were that everybody got fed. So when we say that we love our brother or our sister, then we really have to follow that through with an action. So I'm not saying that you all got to turn up at my front door with flowers or whatever, but there are ways that we can really bring that love into fruition, first and foremost with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then with our neighbours, you know, those people that we are in contact with. Because how is anyone going to come to Christ if we don't set the example first and foremost? You know, we're not here just because God wants us here. You know, he wants us to be fully persuaded that we are born again, that we are born again to serve, we are born again to love, we are born again to shed that word abroad, that we can, you know, turn to the person on our right and tell them that we love them, and this is the reason why. Because Christ so loved us first. Let's have a look at Psalms 119, and there are, I could have chosen hundreds of verses of scripture in Psalms about the words love, but we're going to take a look at Psalms 119, and this is a big psalm, and we're going to go to verse 165, and it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So this is a way that we can actually show that love is an action, because great peace, so if you're agitated and you're not settled, then there's no peace. If there's no peace, there's no love, because it just states it. Great peace have they which love thy law. And what is the law? Now, we don't live under the Ten Commandments anymore. Okay, that's gone. I mean, some people still stick by it. That's fine. But Jesus Christ made it very, very easy. We're going to turn to that in a minute. But first of all, before we go there, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and in verse 12 it says, to the end he may establish your hearts. Am I in the right place? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another, towards all men or women, even as we do towards you. See, it's stating here that it can be done. If one does it, we can all do it. But that the Lord makes you to increase and abound. See, it's not that we do it within ourselves. It's the Christ in us. It's the Christ in us that makes us abound in love one towards another. We cannot do anything within ourselves. We can try, but you're going to fail. Because one day you're going to love someone, the next day they might cheese you off and you think, oh, well, I don't love that person today. But the Christ in you loves that person every day. And 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 9, it says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Again, it's nothing from within ourselves. We are taught from God. And no greater example than the love of Jesus Christ. So it's God in Christ in you. So God is teaching us. Every day he's teaching us. But in this specific verse, it's that he's teaching us to love one another. So now we're going to take a look in Gospel of Mark. I've got two here actually, but we're going to take a look at Mark first. And in verse 12, chapter 12, and in verse 30. And it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." See, so we don't live under the Ten Commandments, but you can if you want to. But Christ made it easier, because God said, you love God first, then you love your neighbor. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's see, Luke 10. And it's all confined into one verse here, in verse 27. And it says, and he, well, let's read above it. Verse 26, he said unto him, what is written in the law, and how readest thou? Verse 27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Very easy. You do this, and you'll live. You love God first, you love your neighbor. Now, your neighbor, who's your neighbor? Well, first and foremost, as I said, it's your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, it's whoever your neighbor is. So if you're in contact with someone, if you're working with someone, if you're fellowshipping with someone that's not a believer, we have to so let God work within us to show that love of Christ. Having that compassion, meeting people's needs. You know, if somebody has an illness, it should well up within you the compassion to want to heal that person, knowing that God is working within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? Nothing is impossible. And like Jason was sharing, you know, we don't have to be afraid to let people know who we are. We are Christians. You know, we have Christ in us. We have the great ability to love with compassion one another. But again, it's the word love connotes an action. There, you know, something has to follow along with it. Let's take a look at 1 John. You've got 1 John, which is, well, I would have loved to have read all of it tonight, but I don't have time. But we're going to start off in 1 John chapter 2. And I am going to read a lot of this chapter. It says, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. It's not a good example to sin, guys. You know, people are watching. And especially if they know you're a Christian, they can't wait to want to point a finger. That you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Okay, so again, commandments is just to love God and to love your neighbor. It's all you have to do. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. See, it's God that makes that word, that love within you work. It's him that perfects it. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Right? As Jesus Christ walked. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true, in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. See, if you're loving someone, you're not going to stumble. You're not going to make a mistake. You're not going to sin. Christ continued day after day after day to walk in love, to have compassion for God's people, and also for those that weren't God's people. You know, he didn't have favors. He didn't sort of point people out. Well, I like this one, but I don't like that one. You know, he was a great representative of God. We're going to keep reading here, and in verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What a promise. Anyone that does the will of the Father, the love of God abideth forever within him. 1 John 3:18. Let's take a look. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, it needs to be showing forth from you. Now, we've read through the scriptures that it's God that perfects that love within you. So even if you weren't loved, or you don't know how to love, the word of God says that God can perfect love within you, so you can love. First and foremost, we need to be able to love ourselves first. And sometimes that's a hard thing to do. But I think what I'll do is I'll record Lawrence loving himself in front of the mirror, and I'll put it on one of the blogs, and then you can learn how he does it, because he just talks to himself for ages in the mirror, how he loves himself, and isn't he beautiful, and wow, God's made some spectacular man here right now, and he just goes on and on and on, and he boosts himself up, not in a negative way, but in a very positive way. With the word, he is really like energizing that Christ within him, and he's perfecting that love, and then he passes it on to others. And as it says here, that it's that let us not love in word, neither in tongue, in other words, just verbalizing I love you, you know, oh, I do love you, but in deed and in truth. And we're going to read on, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20, for if our heart condemneth us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have the confidence towards God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Commandments is to love him and to love our neighbor, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now that's love. That's God loved us so much that he gave us that Spirit so it can dwell within us, so it can energize us, so that it can perfect that love within us. And now we're going to go to 1 John 4 and we're going to start from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, it's saying here that if we love, we're going to know God even more. That's just mind-blowing. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the only way you get to really know God is by loving him. There's no other way. First of all, you have to get to know him, love him, and then that love within you permeates, like Lawrence was saying earlier, you know, that he keeps God first. How can we put anything else before God? We can't. God is first. We love God, then we love our neighbor. Then we can start to manifest that outwards, then to the dogs or the grandkids or the kids or whatever. But it starts with your love for God first and then for your neighbor. And we're going to read on verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And this is just as simple as that. If God loved us first, then we ought also to love one another. Galatians chapter 5. There's so much throughout the Bible on the word love. I think it's the most used word, actually. Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, back we go. Chapter 5 and in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and the first word is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's no holds barred. You can live it to the fullest. You're loving people. You've got joy in your heart. And don't forget that that love also gives a peace within you. So see how the fruit of the Spirit all kicks off from that one word love. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5. Let's go back to verse 13 a minute, because it says, for, brethren, you have been called unto liberty, freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve being a doulos. Serve. And again, love, when you serve someone, connoting an action, it's actually bringing that love into service so that people can see it. It's not just, like it said earlier, not by word or by tongue, but you are serving someone with that love that God's given you. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So then that brings us back to the fact that if you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? So if you have a problem loving yourself, then you need to go to God more, because God will perfect that love within you, and then it'll be much easier to love yourself than love your neighbor. Philippians turn over a few books, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 2 it says, grace be unto you. No. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Having the same love. Well, how can I have the same love as Lawrence? In the senses, you can. But by the Spirit, you can. Because it's the same God in Christ in Lawrence as it's the same God in Christ in me. And it's the same God going to work within us to perfect that love. Hebrews chapter 10. And in verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So, we don't put barriers between us, that we provoke one another on a negative or a 5 cents basis. But we provoke one another unto love. That God in Christ in you love. And then it goes on to say, love and good works. And again, if you're working, you're laboring. So that means that it's not done just in deed or in word, but it's an action. So we can all go to work on an action of actually showing that love on a level spiritually, that anyone can love with the love of God. And we're going to have a look at James chapter 2, and in verse 8 it says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do that, it says, you do well. You do well. See, it's so important that we do not run each other down, that we do not talk behind each other's backs. There's too much of that in the world. But spiritually, that sickens God. Because God wants us to love one another. We love God, we love our neighbour. We shouldn't be backbiting, we shouldn't be pointing fingers. We should be energizing one another, encouraging one another, you know, extending our arms to one another. If you can get in there and help your brother, and you have the ability to do it, why would you withhold it? You wouldn't. Jesus Christ never withheld anything. You know, if you have compassion one for another, knowing what somebody does, then you'd want to extend that arm of love and show them that God loves them, encouraging them with great words of confidence and, you know, humility, and getting in there and helping. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And if you're doing that, you're doing well. You know, God's going to really reward you for that. You know, we have to be more Christ-like. Christ walked this earth with love and compassion. And we have to do the same, guys. And we're going to finish off here in Ephesians. This is addressed to us today. Ephesians. And in chapter 5. And in verse 1 it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. That walk, again, is an action. You're actually doing something. So we are walking in love. And then it goes on to say, as Christ also hath loved us. Now we know what Christ has done for us. He did the ultimate the actual ultimate greatest sacrifice, he gave up his life for us. Now, we don't have to go that far, guys, right? But we remember what Christ done for us, and it makes it easier for us to walk in love. And then it goes on to say, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You know, no greater love had God given, but gave us his son, Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for us. So no greater love can we do than to walk like Christ. You know, and having compassion and love, first and foremost for God, but then for our neighbor. So the more you can do, guys, not just by word or by tongue, but by deed. Get out there in your areas. Love people with that love of God. Really get in and help people, just as Christ did, and have compassion for people. When you have that compassion, that love supersedes then. It comes into fruition. So I want to say thank you. I want to thank my God for the awesome prayers that he answered, and that we could be a great example within that hospital with Leanne. The one statement that the nurse said, and I heard her distinctly outside the door, she said, that's one loving family there. You know, people look at us and they see that Christ within us. They see that something's different. And for her to say to another nurse outside, that's one loving family in there. You know, it's just an example. And as we shine as lights in this world, you know, people won't be able to point fingers. They won't be able to put us down. But that Christ in us should so shine. So you get out there this week, just walking in love, not in just in word or in tongue, but in deed. Do something. Let that love connote an action. So God bless you.
That's wonderful, Kim. You know, the Word of God says we should be rooted and grounded
in love.
In love. And it reminded me when Kim was sharing that, you know, when we start to really get that revelation of what God has really done for us in Christ, then we can really start to love God with the love that he's given us. And then in that, with that relationship, knowing that we're so loved and we're so thankful for that, then the love is energized within us to give it to other people.
Yeah.
And you know, and then we won't recognize, we won't see that person after the flesh. Okay, you know, love doesn't see no evil. And I was thinking about, or think of no evil.
No.
And I was thinking about 1 Corinthians 13. You know, that's another great record, that, you know, though I speak with the tongues of angels of men and have not love, I'm like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, there's many people say to me, I speak in tongues for 8 or 12 hours a day. But then I think to myself, well, I don't see no compassion or love coming from you. And you're always kind of criticizing, condemning and complaining and saying everybody else is wrong. But I never say nothing to them, you know, because it's their walk and growth with God. And we're all at different levels. But, you know, it's just as we just really recognize that we should be so thankful. I done a little written article on the blog about being thankful, and I'm so thankful for my life. You know, when I think about my beginning, things I went through in the beginning of my life, I could have turned out to be a right rogue. I could have turned out to be very unloving. I could have had all the excuses not to be loving.
Yeah.
But God is just, I can't deny God's unfailing love for me and for you. I mean, for me personally, when I see what God has done in my life, I'm just so very, very grateful. And there's nothing in this world that I could think of doing other than serve God. And love is service. And the way that we serve God is by serving one another and trying to be the best examples that we can be, because none of us are perfect. We do have an old man nature, but we don't focus on that old man nature. We focus on what God has done for us. And it really does give you compassion for other people, people that you maybe think, well, they're just trying to get attention.
Yeah.
It makes you stop and listen, because God knows the heart cry of every man and woman. And so this is a really great teaching, actually. I mean, probably one of the best teachings you can do is on God's love, that he first loved us. and that we can love with his love. And I'll just finish off with this.
John 3:16, yeah, you got it on your arm?
Yeah, for God so loved the world, I got it tattooed on my arm. But there was one thing that one man did say, and it always stuck with me. And he said, if you put on the love of God in your renewed mind, in manifestation, there is nothing that you would have to ask God for. You'll never have to ask him. It'll always be there. It will always be there. And a lot of you know who actually said that.
Amen.
But that was always stuck with me. And it's true. When we walk with the love of God in our renewed mind, with the mind of Christ, when that mind of Christ is on, then the love's going to be there. The compassion's going to be there. The forgiveness is going to be there. When we're walking with our knowledge, the love's not going to be there. The compassion's not going to be there. The hard heart's going to be there.
Yeah.
And the unforgiveness is going to be there. It's going to take us long to forgive someone or to, you know, really serve someone. But when we got that love of God energized in us and we're walking by the Spirit of God, then that love is evident. So, God bless you, and thank you, Kim, for a wonderful teaching.